like Louis Armstrong. Play the trumpet, I'll hit that bong and break you off something soon. I got to get my props. Cops, come and try to snatch my crop.
Welcome to the Windy Hill Windsock with me, The Solution, and joining me today is Christina.
Good evening, Solution.
How are you?
Oh, bit knackered.
Yeah? Are you? Not knackered. I did sweet fuck all today, but it is Sunday, so why not? And with us is the correspondent.
Hi, mate. Good to be back.
Yeah, finally.
Back in the country.
Back in the country, yeah. Your 4-week bender has had a momentary pause. I'm surprised you're not in Adelaide on the source.
Yeah, I didn't get my invite from AFL HQ. No surprise.
Yeah, well, we're going to keep it relatively short today. Funny how we won last week, had a full book of people. Suddenly, Windsock 2000's got dinner reservations again. Jez is watching Married at First Sight. The architect is, I don't know what he's doing, wanking perhaps. And Fiona gets a pass because she's not 100%. But anyway, I'm going to start, and I'm pretty angry. But do you know who I'm angry with? Have a guess. I'm angry with myself. I can't believe I got sucked in to thinking that Essendon could beat Port, because I actually tipped them.
You did not. And
I did. If you bothered to listen to this podcast, you prick, you'd know that. And I actually thought we could potentially do something this year, but is it an overreaction to say that Friday kind of told us just how far we have to go and that answer is a long way? Who wants to start?
I'll start quickly. No, it's not. Actually, is that the right answer? I think it's, mate, we're cooked for the year.
For the year?
Yeah.
Why? Why is the year done?
Well, we just don't have talent. Let's be real. Port Adelaide are a top 8, if not top 4 side. And I said to you in watching the game, the St Kilda result was, it was an aberration, and it was one on a whole lot of effort. And people observing the game were reports afterwards were that Essendon can't keep on winning games that way because you just won't. And the Port Adelaide game, maybe it happened a bit too quickly. I didn't expect it to be so bad. But anyway.
Christina, is there any hope? Correspondent's basically just written the year off.
Yeah.
I don't think we can write the year off, but I think, you know, there's one thing when a team plays sort of not to their best and they almost win. And I think it's been a bit of a reality check when we actually saw the team give an incredible amount of effort for, you know, a quarter and a half and was still behind. And then it sort of progressed for the rest of the game. I think that bit is probably the most disheartening bit where you think, well, could they have done any better or capable of any better? I listened to Brad's presser, and he just said it was basically the centre clearance, the centre bounce, that I think they had like 17 scoring shots from the centre bounce, Port Adelaide. So, like, we won the tap, but Port just reamed us in that section. So, I mean, Brad sounded more positive than the rest of us, that's for sure.
Yeah, but isn't, like, the clearances, we were absolutely slaughtered. But isn't that where the gulf between kind of our mid players, I'm not saying mid as in midfield, I'm calling them mid, that's what the kids say today. If you're a 5 out of 10, you're mid. Our midfield is mid. Zach Merritt aside, like Darcy Parrish is meant to be the 6-year marquee signing, re-signing, big contract, and you compare him to even what Horn Francis shows, let alone some of the other guys running in there. And isn't the golfing talent correspondent just vast?
Yeah, well, that's what we saw on Friday night. And I said to you, you know, who are our Horn Francis, Butters, Rosie, Ollie Wines, who didn't play? Yes, Merritt's one of those. And admittedly, Parrish is second game back or whatever it is. And yes, Port probably have the best midfield, you know, one of the best midfields going around. But our kids that we've signed, and we all know who they are a long way off.
And is that talent or development?
It's probably both. It's probably, we know the issue that we've not been a great club for developing players, but it's the age-old issue of the types of players we've recruited in the draft and the players that we've just missed out on. Look, hopefully the Davey twins will end up being superstars, right? And
are we at this point, have we just recalibrated to hoping they're going to make it as AFL footballers?
Well, mate, I think we know there's a number of players that the jury's out, right? And so we, you can go through the better performing clubs and look at players that have come into their squad last year, this year, and we haven't had. Nick Martin's the only player that's come into our squad, our 22, that's had an impact, right? Of young players.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's pretty clear to me that Ben Mackay aside, the answer to taking us to the next step isn't trading and getting some good players that aren't great, like, for example, Dersmer and Gresham, and they're good. I think they're good players, but it's just more mid guys.
Yeah, they're just good players. You look at Mitch Owens, who plays at the Saints, right? He's in his second year. He's having a good a year as he had last year, right?
Yeah.
Where are our second year? Why the fuck was Sartis not playing on the weekend? And the reserves had a bye.
I think he'll play this week. But you know what? We're going to go to the awards. The theme of this podcast is putting us out of our misery quickly tonight rather than what Essendon did, which was a slow, painful Chinese water torture death. Mm. And so I'm going to go easy on you, Christina. You're going to do the herd this week. And there's very few candidates, I'd suggest, so it should be pretty easy. And correspondent, given your truancy recently, you've got the hardest job, I think, of anyone this week, trying to pluck a Henneman from that pile of shit, which is the little brown floater that is going to be the standout. So we'll go to the herd first, Christina. And I think there were some notable performances amongst all the rubbish.
Yeah. So I think Merritt was kind of very solid throughout the game, did his job. I thought Martin, you know, kept running and trying all game. Yes, he does an odd few weird kicks that just, you know, just sprays occasionally, but the amount of running and effort that he does. I think Dersmer, he was probably a top goal scorer, wasn't he? Got two goals. So he was sort of a small shining light in the forward line. But I didn't give it to Mackay down back because he sort of had to cop most of it and held his ground most of the game. I'm just going to give it to him, even though he lost by a lot of goals.
No, I don't think anyone would argue, or I wouldn't certainly argue. I think Mackay would have been questioning his life choices at some point during that second half, or maybe time on to the second quarter. Any argument there, correspondent? Anyone you want to shout out?
No, not really. I mean, I'm surprised, actually. I thought that Mackay had more than six marks. I'm just having a look at some of the stats. I thought he might have had somewhere near 10 because he certainly had a fair bit of the ball. So I'm surprised. I know we chatted about it, that, you know, Nick Martin had 35 disposals, right? And I think we both agree that we don't think him playing that deep in the back line is working. Or the 35 disposals he's getting are not advantaging the team. If he's getting 25 or 30 playing wing half forward, that's more damaging.
And there are a lot of cheap handballs through the game while the players were panicking as well, as Port were coming down on them too. So, you know, there's a lot of cheap disposals happening.
Yeah, a lot of selling other guys into trouble as well.
There's a lot of players, probably, well, more than half the team who, you know, had 15 touches or less, right? So,
yeah, one of those guys I want to shout out, which is Harry Jones. I thought he followed on from the previous week, and he's just giving 100% effort. And when he does that, he's got some talent.
Mate, he took 9 marks, right?
Yeah. Yep.
And you're right, he was running, you know, second, third efforts. Yeah, so he was a bright light amongst a very dim performance.
And the Port back line were working like a, you know, a solid, I can't think of an analogy, but they all worked together and they were solid as a rock. Like, and so the forwards had a really tough night trying to get anything. But, of course, our entry was...
Yeah, entries are crap.
Yeah. We had Draper, it was like 1-4 at one point, like during the game. So
I think the biggest issue, which you both have mentioned, is we played well first quarter, played well for the first bit of the second quarter, and then it just evaporated. So only the coach and the players know what happened for that to happen.
Do you think that brand is actually sustainable? When you look at someone like Geelong, their game is more about kick and mark into space, run it on, whereas ours seem to be a whole lot of pressure, lock it in, lots of tackles. Can you sustain that kind of intensity for 4 quarters every single week?
Well, I reckon we can sustain our second half effort, no problems.
Yeah.
That's sustainable.
Christina, the answer is no, because that was the comment coming out of the St Kilda game. You can't win games week on, week in, week out with that kind of intensity, because you just can't do it.
So there needs to be more kind of ability to slow the game when you need to slow the game. You know, take your kick and marks, choose that kind of patient ball movement.
That's a really good point. Because that time on, well, like in time on, I think there was 2 minutes to go.
Yeah.
They scored 3 goals.
That was the end of the second term, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Now, that was the second worst capitulation I've seen over the weekend. The worst was actually, and this is a digression, Manchester United were beating Chelsea 3-2 in the 96th minute, and by the 98th minute, they'd lost 4-3. So,
terrible.
That was worse. I'm relying on them to beat fucking Liverpool tonight too, by the way, Christina. But that's another story. But yeah, what really got me was that we just couldn't recognise, okay, we're in red time. We just, like, can we just send some people back? Can we do something different? Can we just put a little mini flat on for a minute to stop the bleeding? We seem capable.
I think we said at the time, you know, they'll kick a couple of goals.
Yep. And they kicked 3. So we were wrong. They kicked a few.
Like, that's, I mean, last year we had a really clear game plan for the last, you know, minute, 2 minutes of every game of what we were going to do. And it's like they kind of were rushing and completely forgot about it. I mean, they need to, I don't know if they've still got the billboards, the signs that they hold up or not from the boundary. But it should have been pretty clear to go, come on, just run the time off the clock. Let's not, no point trying running it out.
Mm. I agree, but we're sort of shirking the issue a little bit here. The Henneman.
Yeah.
Who wins the Henneman Award? And as I said, we want to keep this brief, so let's try and...
So you don't want me to go through all the nominations?
No, what I was going to say is let's not spend... half an hour, which is probably what it deserves.
All right, mate.
Expand.
No. Well, yeah, there's a lot.
There's some people to mention. Can I start?
Yeah, absolutely, mate. You run this show.
Hobbs, I do. Hobbs, what's going on with him?
His disposals were shocking. It was so bad. His kicks and his handballs. Oh my god.
Yeah. I don't know. I think part of the problem might be with him and a few others is, geez, we may have had one win. We may have got ahead of ourselves, right?
Oh, I think there was definitely a bit of that. Did you,
and it, well, if that's the case, then there's a lot to worry about.
Now, just a point of order. On the nomination. I don't want to take over your spot here.
You are.
But usually, the sub can't win a Henneman. And I don't want to influence your decision.
No, the sub's not winning it.
But Nick Hind running into open goal.
Yeah.
And I know the game was done and dusted, and I know it doesn't really matter, but that has to be one of the most stupid plays I've seen ever on a football field. He's streaming into goal. Okay, he might be down on confidence, maybe trying to be unselfish. I mean, it's like... away from the goals.
Yeah.
But was he actually trying to kick to the goals and he fudged it, or he was meant to go for Langford?
Really good point. How would you know? That's a very good point, Christian.
I don't even think he knows.
Because, like, if he was going for goal, like, what the hell?
Anyway.
So he is not winning it, but he... Yeah, notable mention, but plenty of others. You know, Laverde, Redmond. I mean, Redmond. I didn't see him till about half time, I don't think. But mate, without the absolute by mile is Menzies. What's the point of having him in the team when you look at other sides who have, you know, a capable and effective defensive forward? He's just not up to it.
Yeah, and 2 weeks in a row, he's actually the one shot for goal he's had, he's missed.
Well, that's, yeah, when he had that shot, we said, he's got to kick it. That's what he's paid for. So, you know, for the role that he's meant to play, he's just not good enough. And most other clubs have a much more capable defensive forward goal sneak. We just don't have them. We haven't, you know, we had Tipper, and at the moment, we don't have anyone. You know, the other thing is, this week and last week, thought the ease at which the ball leaves our forward line, which happened last year, right?
Yeah.
It just walks out of our forward line.
Yeah, I think so. I think some people are very lucky. I can't argue with Joe Menzies. I thought Sammy Draper had a mare.
Yeah, but I think, mate, he wasn't alone. There's a whole lot of guys who...
Oh, no, of course. But I want to mention some players. Sammy Draper... sometimes you need to stop looking in the rear-vision mirror and actually lift your head and worry about just kicking the ball and thinking about that missed kick that led to a goal, which I think was at an important time.
Both he and Goldstein had... I mean, like, you know, the whole side was shit. He and Goldstein took two marks each together, right?
Mm.
Yeah, that's shocking. Absolutely shocking. I thought Nick Cox had a shocker as well. I know he did some things... He got a bit of the ball in the second quarter, but he made some woeful errors. Jake Kelly made a few shockers.
I mentioned
Parrish.
And Fiona's going to hate me, but I just can't see how Jake Kelly is in the side. He, again, there's a few times when he had the ball, and it might as well have been me. He grabs it and just doesn't know what to do. He panics under pressure.
He definitely, if he's going to have any role, it has to be deep in defence.
Yeah, that's right. And remember, he was up in the forward line a couple of times. Remember, we said, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah. And we said last week, fish out of water. Christina, anyone you think's got off the hook before we move on?
Carl Langford did nothing, but he was probably just...
I think he had limited opportunities.
So. Yeah, well, that's the problem. So, yeah, no, Ben Hobbs was the one that really kind of surprised me how poor his disposals were during the game. So that was the main one. There was something that Brad said in the press conference. They asked about, because Archie did his hammy, and the one the journalist said, oh, there's about another five players that have got soft tissues issues. Say that quickly five times. And Brad said, oh, well, yeah, it's probably definitely something we'll have to look into.
Well, I was about to do a douche of the week, and that was going to be towards the Essendon players' soft tissue, muscles, tendons, hamstrings, quadriceps, whatever part of the leg you want to mention. What is going on? So we would have all heard the horrendous news about Ridley. He's gone now, at least till halfway through the season. And then you mentioned these other injuries. What the speculation is, it's the Tullamarine surface. What do we reckon?
Yeah. Maybe.
That's been the speculation for a number of years. It would be mind blowing if that's the reason, right?
Mm. Well, Guelphy, they said that his calf is just not healing. Like, it should be much further along than it is, and they said it's just not healing. So there's something, must be something else going on anatomically, like whether it's his foot or his knee or something that's affecting his calf to not heal. If it's not healing, okay, well, do you operate on it? Like,
well, to be fair, whether his calf is okay or not, he's not going to make a difference to the performance of the team. So.
No, he had one good game before he got injured, but no one's.
He's not the fucking Messiah.
No, he's not. He's not even a naughty boy. In terms of just going back to Tullamarine, you said it would be hard to believe, or it'd be incredible to think that, or words to that effect.
Yeah.
Can I remind you who masterminded Hanger?
You can.
The same guy who masterminded eSports.
Oh, really?
It was the X-Man, wasn't it?
No, the eSports was the marketing guy.
Well, that's that's a side point. Xavier's was the mastermind behind the hangar.
Yeah, he was the CEO at the time, so clearly he would have been on board with the whole Tullamarine project. But as I said, I'd be amazed if that is the reason. But it can't be completely discounted. I would have thought the more likely reason is playing at Docklands.
Oh yeah, the sooner we get away from that.
You know, you're playing on the top of a concrete car park, but then other teams play there, so you know.
Yeah, I actually saw the soil depth is probably no more than like 15-20 centimeters, and then you've got concrete.
Where
at
Marvel?
At Marvel. So I saw when they were digging the ground out where they put attached the plates for, like, when they put stadium shows, and it's literally about 15-20 centimetres, and that's it.
Yeah, well.
So you're literally playing on concrete.
Who knows? Either way, it's just, you know, we're already struggling. We can't afford to Ridley. He's in our top five players.
Yeah.
Easy. And now he's gone for at least a setup.
One would suspect that Perkins is out for 3 or 4 weeks, right? Standard hammy.
Yep, minimum. So we're just going to move straight to next week. Oh, it's Friday night again. Nowhere to hide, people.
Oh, yeah, I'm going. I can't believe I'm going. Fucking hell.
Are you?
A friend of mine follows the Bulldogs and wanted to know. Anyway, don't even start me.
I'm going.
You're going as well?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah, I know. I don't know.
No, it's good. You're going to cheer the mighty red and black. That's to be respected. Yeah, just I won't be there. Bulldogs had a win, didn't they?
No, they just got beaten by Geelong.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, that's right. The close game last night.
I didn't see any of it, but anyways.
That's one by four. 4 points. There you go. What do we think? Do we have any hope for next week?
No.
Firstly, before we predict potential ins and outs, oh, you mentioned Sardis. I think one
probably with that with Archie out.
Yeah, you'd think so. Dersma coming back, of course.
I don't think. I mean, realistically, who else have we got that could come back in?
Darren.
Yeah, Darren's in. Yep.
Oh, I'm sorry. I said Dersma. I meant Darren. Yeah.
Yeah. Darren will come in ahead of Sardis.
Yeah.
But there has to be a couple of other players dropped. If they don't drop a few players after Friday night, and I know last year we had similar results where we expected some change and there was no change, right? Remember that?
Yep.
And we were like, what the fuck is he doing? If players are allowed to retain their spot on 10 possession, no effort games.
Yeah. I guess the problem is, like, as you get towards the selection, you start to think, well, who can we bring in? And we know that certain players have been unfit, as we mentioned. I guess, like, both the Davies are struggling for fitness, aren't they? Or getting back into
getting back. They've been playing. The Bulldogs, as we know, like St Kilda, Bulldogs, they'll run, right? They've got a good running team. So who are we going to bring in that's going to run?
Do we drop a ruckman? Now Draper's kind of had a few games. Is it a luxury that we don't need?
I think the problem is... Sorry, I think the problem is if we had Peter Wright, we don't have Peter Wright.
Mm.
And what's his name? The Bulldogs ruckman English. He's actually played. He plays better and better against us.
Yeah, and I don't think either Goldie or Draper could do a full game on their own.
I think Goldie, he did though, didn't he? Round one or round two or something.
But he looked tired on Friday night.
He did. How old is he?
36.
36, yeah. Yeah, for fuck's sake, yeah.
So Dylan Scheel, I mean, clearly, you know, he's not fit, right? They might as well bring in Archie Roberts, draft pick from last year, who's quick. Why not?
Caddy?
Chucking Caddy with a broken tooth.
Yeah, well, yeah, Caddy. But bring in Roberts, bring in one of the Davies to play, you know, the forward pocket. If they bring in a Davey and he gets 5 or 10 touches, it's more than Menzies got.
Yeah, that's right. That's a really good point.
And I think the Davies bring creativity, and that's something that we don't. That's what we used to get with Tipper. We used to get his creativity, and it was much harder to defend when he didn't know what he was going to do next. And someone like the Bulldogs, we need to be a bit more unpredictable.
Yeah.
It's unfathomable having Nick Hind as a sub. He doesn't bring anything. He's not the future. It's a waste.
Well, we said this, he's not the future, he's not the present. He's not even the past. So yeah, I agree.
Maybe put Caddy as a sub.
No. Caddy can't be sub.
Yeah, true. You can't first gamer as a sub.
Well, no, he's just because he's a key forward. You need a more versatile player as a sub.
Yeah, but also, for what purpose are we playing out the season now? I'm kind of starting to think, and I know it's ridiculous in a way to say when we've only played 4 games, but when you look at our draw, we spoke about it at the start of the year. It's tough. We'll probably turn 3-7. 3-8, 4-8, you know, at the halfway mark or near the halfway mark.
Yeah.
Why not just play these young players? Play Sardis every week. Play the Davies when you can. Play Caddy. Just play young players. And I don't know. I think supporters would probably prefer that than seeing a guy like Hind come on as a sub.
Yeah, plus I would.
Just be terrible.
Yeah. Look, we're not going to beat the Bulldogs, right? If they for a moment think they're going to beat the Bulldogs, they're kidding themselves. So bring in a few players, give them experience. Then we play Adelaide, obviously away, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, then they're not great.
No, they're not great. Then we play the Pies.
Oh, yeah, Anzac Day.
Yeah, thank Christ I missed out on tickets.
So you're saying they're kidding themselves if they think they're going to win.
Yeah.
What's your prediction, correspondent?
Oh, mate, I don't know. We'll lose by 30 or 40 points. If we get closer than 30, I'll be very surprised.
Well, pick a number.
Oh, I don't know, 45
points? People write this down at home. 45 yeah. points.
All the one people.
People play this at home. There's more than one person. There's at least seven. Christina.
Lose by 24.
You're on drugs.
Well, I said we lose.
Huh?
I said we lose.
Yeah, by 24 points, seriously.
But what did you say first? You said 30 to 40 points.
I said 30 to 40, then I said 45. I said if we get under 30, I'll be amazed.
Yeah, you're the one that sounds like you're on mushrooms.
You think?
I reckon it'll be... I mean, we haven't matched up well against the Bulldogs at the best of times, have we?
No.
And this is not the best of times. It's possibly the worst of times. Yeah, I reckon 43 points. So I've covered your line. I'm just under you, correspondent.
I'm just having a look at, their goal kickers from the weekend, right? Luke Darcy's son kicked 3. He's about 6 foot a million. Ugal Hagen, Bontempelli, Norton. I don't need to go on.
Yeah, but they lost.
Yeah, by 4 points.
Ladder position, the same. They've both got 2 wins.
Mm.
And you reckon I'm on mushrooms?
It's Bontempelli. He's the one that always has a big game against us, isn't it?
Yeah. Amongst others.
Because we've got no one that can kind of go with him and his size. Oh, probably Setterfield, I suppose.
Yeah, he escaped the Henneman nomination as well.
Is that long-haired Peanut, is he injured or is he on drug charges at the Bulldogs? What's his name?
Oh, the one with the blonde hair and the moustache or something.
Yeah.
The diving cheat.
Not Waitman, no. You know the bloke.
Oh, yeah. Well, Smith? Given you've just accused him of being on drug charges, we probably
no one want that. No
allegedly.
One listened. No just one put listened. That out there. Allegedly. He had a hamstring.
You mean Bailey Smith is who we're talking about.
That's I didn't know.
Who would know these days, hey, if you're out injured?
Yeah.
Who knows what you were doing Thursday or Friday night?
I listened to I watched a bit of Insiders, and they had, the AFL's.
Oh, why? Why'd you do that to yourself? Caroline Wilson.
And they had, what's her name? Laura, is it Laura Kane? AFL's footy operations person or what have you?
Yeah.
And all,
you guys might have discussed this in the last few weeks because clearly I haven't listened. The drug testing and what have you that goes on. And there are pains to point out again today that it's a voluntary code that the players, they sign up to voluntarily do these. And I'm like, yes. Why do you think that they're doing it voluntarily?
Yes, yes.
And they're like, so we should applaud them and going, hang on, no, because they know. I mean, I can't believe the people are taking that, they're swallowing that hook, line and sinker. Oh, isn't it great they're doing it voluntarily?
Of course they are, because they're AFL accredited media. So they're swallowing whatever they're told to swallow. Yeah, I mean, basically, gee, it must be a hard code to sign up to. So you're telling me if I do get on the gear, I can basically just pull out an Uno reverse card and give it to my club doctor and have a day off.
Or we can not sign up to the voluntary code and just play Russian roulette and get tested on game day. Oh, no, I'll voluntarily. But no, but the supporters are like, oh, it's good. It's, and the club presidents, oh, it's voluntary. It's, isn't it great? I'm going, you're kidding me. Yeah, but I mean, the Uno reverse card.
It's tremendous. All right. Any other final thoughts before we bugger off?
Yeah, I just want to comment on the Port player who called one of the Essendon players with, like,
homophobic
term.
Yes.
So he should get also the douche of the week.
Yeah, he does, and I reckon Koshy's not far behind him either. Or trying to say that, well, who was he trying to peg? What was he saying? The standard. The standard's been set now. You watched Offsiders, didn't you, correspondent?
Yeah, but I did, but I kind of tuned out when David Cox spoke. So.
Yeah.
So what does he say? He's saying that calling that out, that's...
Well, when Alistair Clarkson went up to a player of opposition and had a go at them and he got like a $20,000 fine or something, that this is nowhere near as bad as that.
No, I think what they said was he said, look, I think it's equivalent to basically just making up his own rules, right? He said, well, it's equivalent to Alistair Clarkson. I mean, may not have mentioned him, but he said a certain coach. And therefore, the precedent's been set and this was what he should get. And then he was asked, was it Kelly Underwood was there as well? Who asked, well, isn't this akin to Taylor Walker and his racial slur? Wouldn't that be a fair comparison? And shouldn't his punishment be similar? Yeah. But no. The precedent's been set. The precedent's been set.
Yeah, I think you're right. Someone asked whether a homophobic slur should be treated the same as a racial vilification or racial slur. And yeah, so I think that's what the question was about around.
Yeah, that was just a little bit again, like you were saying with the AFL and the code.
What would happen if it was homophobic and racial?
Well, if it was a Port player, he'd probably just be given Al Clarkson's, according to Koshy. But no, I was going to say, sorry to be talking while you're interrupting, correspondent, that it was, just like every other AFL administrator, just making up their own rules.
I listened to the news and they said the standard thing is kind of $5,000 fine, but they've obviously AFL got a clause where bringing the game into disrepute kind of thing, so they can charge him with whatever they want, really, under that kind of heading. So we'll see what happens.
We will.
All right, hopefully the Essendon player, whoever it was, is okay.
I'm sure the Essendon player is fine.
So
I think we have bigger fish to fry, in all honesty.
Yeah,
I can't imagine.
If the AFL is handing out a fine, they should fine us for delivering that shit on Friday.
Yeah. We need to be compensated. We need reparations, the supporter base. This is painful.
We need free GP visits, bulk billing.
That's right, yeah. Agree.
It's all right, it's an eight-year plan.
Which does lead us to the song of the week.
Did you do one?
I did a song of the week. It was to Forever Young, called Forever Shit. Did you have a listen? You telling me you didn't listen? I put all this effort and time in.
I did.
When did you send it?
Yesterday.
Sorry.
You are a dumb cunt.
Hey.
Oh, hey. What?
We've just been banging on about vilification. That's not vilifying, because it's true.
No, yeah, sorry. You're not dumb, you're just a cunt. So, Christina, you listened. What did you think?
Oh, yeah, fairly on point. Where we're all at the moment.
Yeah. So Forever Young, which was the 80s band, what are they called again? Alphaville. I like the more recent version by Youth Group. I did the song called Forever Shit, and it basically just how I feel about the last 20 years, which is not good.
In a nutshell.
Yes.
In a minute 30.
Yeah, it was. Exactly. Short but sweet. Anything else before we go?
No.
Fiona's Waitman's going to kick 23 against us. Okay.
Probably 20 from free kicks, most probably.
Yeah.
Oh, right. God, the free kick Bulldogs, Jesus. Okay.
Yeah. No, that was the other surprising thing on Friday, that we had the free kick count, right? By a good margin.
Yeah.
Mind you, it's all depends where they're paid.
Yeah, in the second quarter, Port had a few gifts, but, I mean, no one's... I made a comment about the umpiring on Twitter. I think I just said umpires are working their way into the game. They started over-umpiring.
Yeah.
And, of course, the response I get is, oh, it doesn't change the result. Oh, I never said it did.
But it does.
Idiots.
Yeah, but it
often does. It often does.
Well, not this why don't you ask Freo?
Oh, my God. Yeah, speaking of reparations, Carlton, another gift. We can see the narrative that the AFL want to come to pass this season. The Carlton flag.
Did you hear the excuse? It's like, oh, no, that was a wrong call, so definitely a point. But the call after it for dissent was the right one, so that makes up for it.
Yeah, well, that's just a load of shit, because we know that one wouldn't have followed the other.
That's right. Yeah. Morons. All right, well, that's a good note to end on, morons.
More vilification.
Thanks to everyone that listened. We are for following this fucking god-awful club. The amount of money and effort and time we all spend collectively, we could probably cure world peace by now.
Yeah, we have more chance of solving the Middle East crisis, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. We're coming up with a successful era. All right. Check out a sponsor, Something About Cake. Still sponsoring us and is prepared to be associated with this podcast. Thanks to everyone that listened. Yeah, check out Fiona's forecast. We'll do that later in the week. And, yeah, Friday night against the Bulldogs. I'm not looking forward to it. But we'll front up. We'll watch it. We'll yell, we'll scream, and we'll probably drink.
Probably.
Agreed? Yeah, definitely. All right, well, on that note, thanks to everyone that listened, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Hey, Dons.
Hey, Bombers.
Yes, I know we've been crap for a while. A 20-year wait, we were told we would rise. Hoping for the best, but expecting the worst. Will we be good or not? I thought there's no way we can be shit forever. Then we played the power, barely touched the leather. I've come to realize that things won't change, and now I am a sad man. Forever shit, we're gonna be forever shit. Do you wanna be shit forever, forever, forever? We play in the rain and we play in the heat. We get the odd win, but we mostly get beat. Young players come and then they go, and none of us are getting young. Forever shit, we're gonna be forever shit. Do you wanna be shit forever, forever, forever? Forever shit, we're gonna be forever shit. Do you wanna be shit forever, forever, forever?